Uber and Lyft have returned to Austin, Texas. They left the city for a year in protest of city fingerprinting requirements. They're back thanks to a new regulatory framework signed by the governor. In their absence, Austin residents got used to a new nonprofit alternative called Ride Austin. But now that Uber and Lyft are back, Ride Austin is suffering. Marissa Goldenberg is the chief operating officer of Ride Austin. She joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy, for having me.
Well, and for people who don't know, for people outside of Austin, tell us, first of all, just what the idea of Ride Austin was in the first place.
Well, about a year ago, there was essentially a battle between Uber and Lyft and the city of Austin in terms of requirements for the drivers who participated with the rideshare business. Largely, this was around fingerprinting, and Uber and Lyft thought that fingerprinting all drivers would essentially break their model. They ended up pushing it to a vote. Ultimately, they lost, and the voters went with requiring all drivers to have fingerprint background checks. And so Uber and Lyft packed up and left. And they did this very suddenly. And so 10,000 drivers were left out of income very abruptly.
Well, and also we hear that there were massive traffic problems in the city with no access to ride hailing programs. There were reports of DUIs going up and parking problems.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there certainly is traffic concerns in Austin altogether. And, you know, really the genesis was the tech community could kind of sit around and complain about the traffic woes, or we could kind of come together as a group and try to fulfill that void. And so very quickly a team was assembled to create an alternative to Uber, even though there were several other platforms that were moving their operations to Austin to try to help fill the void as well. We felt that we could do something differently and take a very different approach than the typical Uber or Lyft model.
Well, how did you do that in a nonprofit way?
So as a nonprofit, really the goal wasn't to return, you know, value to the shareholders, because there are none as a nonprofit, but really to kind of give back to the community. So it's really, we wanted to learn about the market, see what we could do to help Austin get back on the road, get drivers back to making an income, moving passengers around, and also sharing data with the city. So how can the city improve their transportation infrastructure? And we're completely willing to share as much data as possible.
So how did it work out for you while they were gone, while Uber and Lyft were out of Austin?
We've had a phenomenal run. You know, we've almost been in business for an entire year, and we started slow. You know, early on, we were so excited just to have, you know, a few hundred rides a day. And, you know, ultimately at our peak, I think we hit, you know, about 20,000 rides during the peak of South By. But, you know, it has been a really long climb to kind of get to where we are. But we believe right before Uber and Lyft came back that we're about 50% of the market here in Austin.
And then when they came back, you saw your users drop by 36%?
That was actually just through Monday through Wednesday. If we actually look at the whole week, Monday through Sunday, we're actually down 55% versus the week prior.
Why do you think that is? If people in Austin got so used to using Ride Austin, why have they switched back?
So there's a few factors at play. One of them is also the seasonality. So in any, you know, city, the people kind of ebb and flow, whether you have locals driving around or tourists coming into town. And the week after Memorial Day and the few weeks of June typically are very slow compared to the rest of the season. So the UT students, they've all gone home. Professionals, you know, their kids are graduating from elementary school or high school or middle school or whatever. So people kind of have other things on their mind. But absolutely, Uber and Lyft certainly had an impact. And a lot of it is the price point. When Uber and Lyft come in and they pay kind of a bare bone wages to the drivers, you certainly have folks that want to go after the cheapest price. It's the Walmart of ride sharing.
How much more is Ride Austin than Uber, would you say?
So on an average ride, we're probably about $3 higher.
And you think that makes enough of a difference that some people obviously have decided to switch back?
It does. You know, I think rideshare has become effectively a commodity business. To really get significant volumes does require prices to go down.
So I take both taxis and Ubers and Lyfts. And one thing that I can tell you, and I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, is that the taxi drivers can't stand the Uber and Lyft drivers. Do you face that same kind of hatred from the taxi industry in Austin?
Well, we hear that anecdotally from the drivers. Some of the feedback that we get is, you know, late at night, they'll have reports of taxi drivers swerving to cut them off or just being very aggressive.
So even though you're a nonprofit, you still face some anger from the taxis.
Of course, it takes away their business. Right. Yep, it takes away their business.
So do you think that you're going to stick around now?
We are absolutely going to give it our best shot. It remains to be seen, you know, how much of the local market will continue to support us. We do need to keep 20,000 rides, you know, per week on an ongoing basis to sustain ourselves. The summer will make that more challenging to hit with Uber and Lyft back. But, you know, in the fall, we expect certainly that the volumes will come back with the return of the students, and you've got big festivals. There's just a lot more activity going around from the rideshare business among people who live in Austin.
That's Marissa Goldenberg, who is Chief Operating Officer at Ride Austin. Marissa, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.